All right, so are you ready to dive into some seriously messed up cases of wrongful conviction?
Oh, yeah, I am. After reading Framed, My Faith in the Justice System, let's just say it's a little shaken.
Mine too, and you know, it's crazy.
What's that?
It's not just like these outlandish stories you see on TV. These are real people, real lives, completely derailed by a system that, well, sometimes gets it wrong.
Yeah, and Framed, it doesn't pull any punches. It throws you right into these cases, each one more unbelievable than last.
Exactly. So we figured instead of giving you a boring law lecture, let's give you a taste of what this book is all about.
Think of it as like a trailer for Framed, just enough to pique your curiosity.
A sneak peek into the world of wrongful convictions.
So where should we start?
How about the Norfolk Four?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Four sailors accused of a brutal murder seems pretty open and shut, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. Naval base, a murder must be one of the sailors. But then Grisham and McCloskey, they peel back the layers. And you see just how twisted this investigation really got.
The book really digs into the interrogation tactics, the pressure these guys were under, and how their confessions, even though there was no physical evidence, became the heart of the case.
Wait, no physical evidence at all?
Nope, none.
So how did they even end up as suspects in the first place?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. The investigation was driven by assumptions and a rush to judgment instead of, actually looking at the facts.
And then later, when DNA evidence enters the picture, boom. The whole case blows up.
It makes you wonder how many other cases out there are built on shaky foundations like that.
Right. And that brings us to another case that'll make you question everything. Clarence Branly, a black janitor in Texas accused of murdering a white student.
Oh man, this one is heavy. It's the 1980s, racial tensions are running high, and the book doesn't shy away from exploring how that might have played a role in the investigation.
I mean, come on. They raised his bail illegally just to keep him behind bars.
Exactly. It makes you wonder, was he targeted because of his race, or did they genuinely believe he was guilty?
The book goes deep into the legal battles, the evidence or lack thereof that was used against Brandley, and how his lawyers fought like hell to prove his innocence.
It's a story of resilience against a system that seems rigged against him.
Okay, so we've got questionable investigations, possible racial bias. I'm already hooked. What else is in store for us in Framed?
Well, remember how we talked about DNA evidence?
Yeah.
Get this. There's a guy who pops up in multiple cases, Dr. Stephen Hain. They called him the Cadaver King of Mississippi.
The Cadaver King. Okay, that's both fascinating and a little creepy. What's his story?
So he performed a crazy number of autopsies, way more than any doctor should. And in Framed, we see how his bite mark analysis, which was later completely debunked, sent two innocent men, Lavon Brooks and Kennedy Brewer, to prison.
Hold on, bite mark analysis. Is that even a real thing? I thought that was just something you saw in CSI.
It was, and get this, it's still considered admissible in some courts, even though it's scientifically shaky. The book shows how flawed forensic science like this, presented with this air of authority, can have devastating consequences.
Okay, now that is terrifying. If something as unreliable as bite marks can land someone in prison, what hope is there?
That's the power of this book. It makes you question, it makes you think, it makes you realize that the justice system, while it aims for fairness, is still prone to human error bias and sometimes even outright manipulation.
Okay, I'm ready for more. Hit me with another case. What else did Grisham and McCloskey uncover?
Let's talk about a case that truly lives up to the book's title, Framed. Joe Bryan, a well-respected school principal accused of murdering his wife.
Okay, I'm listening.
The police can't find a motive, so what do? They start spreading rumors about his sexuality to create a story for the jury.
Seriously, no motive, but they try to smear his name instead. That's just wrong.
And then there's this flashlight that supposedly connects him to the crime, but the book dives into the evidence or lack thereof and raises serious questions about whether it actually links him to the crime at all.
This is starting to feel like one giant conspiracy theory.
Hooray.
But it's all real, right? These are actual cases.
Oh, it's real, all right. And it makes you wonder how many other innocent people are out there trapped in a system that's failed them.
So much for innocent until proven guilty, right?
Right.
It's like the more we dig into this book, the more disturbing it gets.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty more where that came from, and we'll be right back after a short break to delve into even more shocking cases of wrongful conviction from Framed.
It feels like the deeper we go with this book, the darker it gets.
Yeah, Framed doesn't just focus on the high-profile cases. It digs into these smaller, lesser known stories that are just as impactful.
Right, like what about Ellen Abney? I mean, a
Yeah.
woman wrongfully convicted of murder.
It's like a tangled web of missing evidence, coerced confessions, shady dealings, you name it.
Seriously, how can someone end up behind bars with so many loose ends and inconsistencies? Did anyone even bother to look at the facts objectively?
That's what Frame does so well. It lays out the facts, examines the evidence, and exposes the cracks in the system.
It makes you wonder how many other cases are out there just like this.
Right? Cases that have slipped through the cracks because of oversights or biases or just plain incompetence.
Okay, so we've got police pressure, flawed forensics, racial bias. It's like a recipe for injustice. Is there any hope in this book at all?
Oh, yeah. There is, and that's what makes Framed so compelling. It
Yeah.
doesn't just point out the problems, it also highlights the fight for justice.
Okay, give me an example.
How about the case of Mark Jones, Dominic Lucci, and Kenneth Gardner, three soldiers accused of a racially motivated murder in Savannah, Georgia?
Three soldiers. Wow, that sounds like a media circus waiting to happen.
It was. They were out celebrating wrong place, wrong time, and bam, they're caught in this whirlwind of mistaken identity and false accusations.
And I bet the racial dynamics didn't help their case either. A black victim and white soldiers.
You Had a Frame doesn't shy away from the tough conversations about race and justice. It examines how those factors might have influenced the investigate the trial and the verdict.
It's like a domino effect. One bias leads to another, and suddenly these guys are fighting for their lives against a system that seems determined to fit them into a narrative, whether they belong there or not.
Speaking of narratives, the book really dives into the whole issue of eyewitness testimony and how unreliable it can be.
Yeah, I mean, we all think seeing is believing, but.
But it's not always that simple. In this case, the main witness actually recanted their testimony, later admitting they lied at trial.
Whoa, lie to trial. How is that even possible? And what happened to the soldiers after that?
That's where Framed gets really interesting. It follows their legal battles, the appeals process, and the long and difficult fight to clear their names.
So even if someone admits they lied, it's not an easy fix. It makes you wonder how many convictions are based on shaky eyewitness accounts like that.
It's one of the unsettling truths that Framed brings to light. Eyewitness testimony, while often seen as the gold standard, can be incredibly unreliable. It can be influenced by stress suggestion, even a desire to please the authorities.
It's like building a house on a foundation of sand. One shaky piece of evidence leads to another, and before you know it, the whole thing crumbles.
Exactly. And when that happens, the human cost is immense. Take the case of Kerry Max Cook, for example.
Another case of the system gone wrong.
He was accused of a brutal murder, a crime he always maintained he didn't commit, and the book meticulously examines the evidence, revealing a series of missteps, questionable forensics, and unreliable witnesses.
Okay, I'm sensing a theme here. The system seems to be failing in a lot of these cases.
What's fascinating about Kerry's case is how the narrative around him, this image of him as a deviant outsider, completely overshadowed the lack of actual evidence. It became more about character assassination than a genuine search for the truth.
So they basically painted him as a bad guy, and the jury just went along with it. That's scary.
And that's where the media comes in. Framed also explores the role of the media in shaping public perception. Headlines screaming sex slayer details of the crime splashed across newspapers. It all creates this frenzy of fear and outrage that makes it almost impossible to get a fair trial.
It's like someone's already guilty in the court of public opinion, even before they set foot in an actual courtroom.
Exactly. And this theme, this pressure to get a conviction to close the case, to appease the public's demand for justice, it runs through so many of the cases in Framed. It's like this invisible force pushing the scales of justice in the wrong direction.
It's like investigators get so focused on finding someone to blame that they lose sight of the truth.
Exactly. They get tunnel vision and miss important details, or even worse, ignore evidence that doesn't fit their theory.
It's like the whole system is set up to create these narratives, even if they're not true.
Yeah, and once that narrative takes hold, it's almost impossible to break free from it.
It's scary to think about, right? That the very system meant to protect us can sometimes be the one that fails us the most.
And the consequences are devastating. Lost years, families torn apart this constant fight to clear their names. It's a burden they carry even after they're finally exonerated.
Speaking of exoneration, we've talked a lot about flawed investigations, unreliable witnesses, media frenzy, but what about confessions? I mean, if someone confesses, that's pretty much a slam dunk, right?
You'd think so, right? But Framed really digs into the psychology of false confessions. How someone under intense pressure facing these relentless interrogation tactics might admit something they didn't actually do.
I can see how that could happen. You're exhausted, you're scared, maybe you even start to doubt your own memory.
Exactly. And the book has some chilling examples of this, like the case of Jerry Paul Francis, accused of robbery and murder.
Okay, tell me about it.
He confessed, but later it came out that the police had coerced. That confession even offered him bribes to implicate others.
Bribes to implicate others. So not only did they pressure him to confessing, they tried to drag other people down with him.
Yeah, it's a messed up situation.
Right.
And his case also highlights another tactic that Framed explores: jailhouse informants, people facing their own charges, willing to testify against others in exchange for a lighter sentence.
Wow, so it's like a whole system of manipulation and coercion.
It's a system ripe for abuse, that's for sure.
So what can we do? I mean, reading this book is eye-opening, but it's also pretty disheartening.
I know what you mean. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by it all, but Framed isn't just a cautionary tale, it's a call to action. It reminds us that we have a responsibility to be informed, to be engaged, and to be willing to question what we're told.
So it's not just about sitting back and being shocked by these stories. We need to be active participants in the fight for justice.
Exactly. It's about demanding accountability, supporting organizations like Centurion Ministries that work to exonerate the wrongfully convicted, and advocating for reforms that make our justice system truly just.
You know, out of all the cases in Framed, is there one that really stuck with you?
That's a tough one. There are so many powerful stories, but the story of Todd Willingham really stays with me.
What happened to him?
He was accused of setting a fire that killed his children, and he maintained his innocence until his execution in 2004.
Oh, wow.
The book examines the scientific evidence, or lack thereof, and it casts serious doubt on the arson findings that led to his conviction.
It's a stark reminder that we're not just talking about prison sentences, we're talking about life and death.
And it underscores the critical need for rigorous forensic analysis, independent review, and a willingness to acknowledge mistakes even when it's difficult.
Well said. I think that's a good place to wrap things up with a sense of responsibility and a call to action.
Absolutely.
Framed isn't just a collection of stories. It's a challenge to each of us to be more informed, more engaged, and more committed to making sure that justice is truly served.
It makes you think, if these cases can happen, could it happen to anyone? What safeguards do we need to make sure that justice is really being served? That's something for everyone to consider.
So to all our listeners out there, do yourself a favor and check out Framed. It's a powerful read that will challenge your assumptions and leave you thinking about these issues long after you finish the last page.
And remember, the pursuit of justice, it's a journey, not a destination.
We all have a role to play in making sure our system lives up to its ideals.